Book of John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. And everybody probably in here is familiar with this verse. The Bible says, John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Now I want to look at that where it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the precious word of God. Your word is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And God, I pray today, dear Lord, that you'd help us tonight. God, you know each and every individual in this building. You know the need of each and every individual's heart. God, you know those that are lost in here tonight that need to be saved. You know those that are hurting. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that you'd help those that are saved to draw closer to you. Dear God, not let the things of the world nor the cares of this world drag them away, but God, that they would draw closer to you tonight. God, I pray that you would instill things in our hearts, that you would change our lives. God, that's why we're here. God, that you might help me. God, that you might help each and every individual. God, I pray that you'd help us tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Here again in John chapter 3, he said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The question comes up, what should a sinner believe? What should a sinner believe to be saved? First off, I believe with all my heart that a sinner must believe Moses. John chapter 5, verse 46, he said that if you had believed Moses, then you'd have believed me. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believe Moses, then you'll believe Jesus Christ. He said Luke chapter 16, talking about the rich man, he said, in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And I believe with all my heart that that rich man died with the hell because he would not believe Moses. He said, if they believe not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. That rich man died, went to hell because he would not repent. That rich man died in hell because he wouldn't, and went to hell because he would not believe Moses. That rich man died, went to hell because he chose religion and was willing to trust his religion over Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Let me tell you something today. If you're ever going to get saved, you're going to have to believe Moses. You're going to have to believe his commandments. You're going to have to believe what it says. What is it about Moses? First off, it's his commandment. He said, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Ladies and gentlemen, the law of God is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, the law of God is pure, and it converts the soul. That's what the law of God does, ladies and gentlemen. People say, the law of God don't convert a soul. He said, the law of God is pure, and it converts the soul. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have the law of God, you'll never get saved. If you will not believe the laws of God, you'll never, ever get born again. If you'll not see yourself as a sinner, you'll never be passed from death into life. The Bible said, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, therefore death is passed unto all men, for that all have sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way, ladies and gentlemen. They're all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. That's what the Bible says. And ladies and gentlemen, you have to face the fact tonight that without Jesus Christ, you belong in hell, that you deserve to go to hell. He said that the greatest commandments is that you love God with all your heart. If you haven't done that, you deserve to go to hell. He said, if you don't love your neighbor as yourself, you deserve to go to hell. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what the Bible teaches. But if you will not believe Moses, you will not be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Even if Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, even though he rose from the dead, you still won't believe Jesus Christ. Why? Because you will not believe Moses. Another thing about Moses is that a lot of types and shadows in the Bible that you'll find that he gave. For instance, whenever they were about to leave, they had the Passover, and God told them to have the Passover. And they took that lamb as that Passover lamb, and they shed its blood. And they took the blood, and they sprinkled it on the doorpost and on the lintel. Whenever God passed by, if you would see that blood, he would pass over them, and he wouldn't kill the firstborn. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood had to be shed upon the doorpost. Ladies and gentlemen, he said, I am the door. What hangs on the doorpost? The door hangs on the doorpost. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. There's only one way to heaven, is through Jesus Christ. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration through the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So before you ever get saved, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to believe the precious word of God. You're going to have to believe the laws of God. You're going to have to believe Moses. Going to have to do it. Going to have to. John chapter 3 is what he said. And John chapter 3, in the context of John 3:16, what he's talking about is, you could go a few verses before, he said, verily, verily, verse 11, verily, verily, I say unto thee, you speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Right. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to believe that serpent lifted up in the wilderness. What was that? That serpent lifted up in the wilderness, ladies and gentlemen, the children of Israel sinned against God. God sent those serpents out in the wilderness and out there with those Israelites, and it began to kill them. Get to kill those Israelites. And God told Moses, I want you to take a serpent. I want you to get a brazen serpent. I want you to stick it upon that your staff. And I want you to lift it up. And if people would look onto that serpent, they can live. What was that serpent? That serpent was a picture of the very thing that was killing them. That serpent was a picture of the very thing that was destroying them. And that's what Jesus Christ had to become. The very thing that's destroying you. The very thing that's sending you to hell. The very thing that's going to put you in the lake of fire and brimstone is what Jesus had to become on that cross. He had to be lifted up as that serpent. He had to become sin, who became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Ladies and gentlemen, he was the one, the Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. He's the one that had to become sin. And he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed as if it were great sweat drops of blood falling to the ground. And as a result, Jesus Christ had to go to the cross. He went to the cross, and Judas Iscariot betrayed him. He was beat, spit in his face. Yeah. All the other things that happened to him, they put him on that cross. And he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had left him. And all that sin from all those people that he took their sin, all the sins from the people in the Old Testament, all the sins from everybody that would ever live, Jesus put that in his own body. And he died on the cross, separated from God. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I believe with all my heart that the Bible says, you can try to trust your Greek and Hebrew or whatever else, and it'll teach you that Jesus didn't go to hell. But the book of Acts chapter 2 said that thou shalt not leave my soul in hell. Thou will not suffer the Holy One to see corruption. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ went down to hell and suffered your pain. in the place of hell. Why? Because he became your sin and my sins and the sins of the whole world, took them upon himself and died on the cross. And that's Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. That's what he did. You have to believe Jesus up on the cross. You have to believe it. Ladies and gentlemen, I said it earlier today about the being buried with him, being crucified with him, being buried with him, being resurrected with him. And that's all applies to your life. You're going to have to be crucified with him. And I don't believe that crucified with Christ necessarily is a verse for spirit-filled Christians. In my study, I came to the conclusion, I am crucified with Christ is the testimony of a saved person.
Amen.
Because before you ever get saved, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, that old man's put away. But Christ liveth in me. And that's the resurrection, ladies and gentlemen. And when you get born again, you have the living Christ living on the inside. And he that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that his spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There is a salvation, ladies and gentlemen, that's real. There is a Jesus Christ that is real. There is a God that is real, and he can live deep down on the inside. He'll change you. He'll transform you, and he'll make old things pass away, and all things will become new. That's the Jesus that I love. That's the Jesus of this Bible. That's the Jesus that we serve, ladies and gentlemen. That's what you have to believe. That same Jesus. God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And because he lives again, we'll live, ladies and gentlemen. Because he's resurrected, we have life. And ladies and gentlemen, the devil thought that he had Jesus Christ gone, thought he had him dead, thought he had him gone away. But in the book of Romans and Revelation chapter 1, he said, behold, I am he who am alive, and I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and of hell in my hands. That's Jesus Christ. And because he lives again, you can live again. And because Jesus Christ is alive, you don't have to be dead in your trespasses and sins. And you have to be quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Wherefore, in times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And if that's your present state, ladies and gentlemen, you must be born again. You mark that one thing today, ladies and gentlemen. If you're walking in the spirit of disobedience, living according to the course of this world, you've never been quickened by the spirit, you must be born again. That's one thing you better mark down. Better believe it. Romans chapter 6, I think, is where it is, where if you got to be crucified with him, got to be buried with him, got to be resurrected with him. He said, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
Yeah, that's right, brother. Sure does.
Problem of this world is people think that they can just run down. I've seen it. I've had people, boys, girls, come down, make a profession. I had a young lady, I thought that she got the real thing, and I've even gave her, as an illustration, Brother Asper, even gave her as an illustration some of my message, just wondrous testimony. Oh, how she had peace in her heart. She came down to the altar, made her little profession of faith, said she got saved, said, oh, I've never had peace in my heart like this. Can't get her to come back to church. Couldn't find her with a search warrant. Ladies and gentlemen, she's had abortion since then. She's on drugs since then. She's a drunk since then. You say she got saved. I don't believe she got saved. That's not what my King James Bible teaches. That's not what the Word of God teaches. And I've seen people, person after person, they can just leave the house of God and be gone and gone, and God never deals with them, and God never chastises them. God never does anything to them. They can just go on and live the only way that they want to live. And they go on and live the way they want to live. And ladies and gentlemen, they'll die and go to hell one of these days. That's what my Bible teaches. He said he chastises those that he loves. If you're without chastisement, you're bastards and not sons. So how can you go on and live in sin and God never chastise you? God never bring you to a place of repentance if he loves you and you are his son. He'll not allow you to do that. He said that he that liveth to the flesh, ye shall die. If you live after the flesh as a saved person, ye shall die.
That's right.
But he, if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. How are you going to do that? Through the Spirit that lives in you. Oh yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, the same are the sons of God. You've got to have Jesus Christ living on the inside. You've got to have the Holy Ghost living on the inside. That's what it is. You must believe Jesus on the cross. Must believe it. Because he's resurrected, we're not left dead in our trespasses and sins. You ought to be glad for that tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that God didn't leave you in a mess, that God didn't leave you to yourself. And he said that we're bought with a price. You're not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your members, which are God's. Glorify God in your body, in your members, which are God's. The Bible said that he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Know you not? You have the Holy Ghost living on the inside. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. What are you to do? The Bible said that the world's supposed to see our works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. It's a pretty sad thing that the world isn't glorifying our Father which is in heaven. They ought to be able to see our works being a testimony and living according to what thus saith the Lord God. They ought to be able to see a difference in our lives. If you're saved, they ought to be able to see a difference in your life and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He said, you're the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He said about John that he was a burning and a shining light. And men whose deeds are evil love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil and they will not come to light lest their deeds be reproved. How are they going to get proof? By the precious word of God.
That's right.
How it's going to be done.
Yes, sir. Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, you must believe Jesus Christ lifted on the cross. You must believe that he is God. You got to believe it. You have to believe that he is God.
Yes.
The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, and that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Because he is God, he can save.
That's right.
Because he is God, he can save the vilest of the vilest, the wickedest of the wickedest. He can save. Jesus told those people that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. The disciples heard that and what a hard statement. Jesus said all things are possible with God. God can take the wickedest. God can take those people that feel like they can't be saved. God can save you.
Right.
You must believe that he's God, because he's God, he is able. He's able to do that which is exceeding and abundant above all that we ask or even think. To God is. If you believe that there is a God, you will seek for him. If you believe that there is a God and you really want Jesus Christ in your life, you'll begin to shun your sin.
Right.
Even as a lost person, I believe that.
Amen.
If you're a lost person, I believe if you're sincere about God, you'll begin to put sin off, begin to come to a place of repentance. If you're serious about God. Why? Because you'll believe that he is God. You'll begin to believe his commandments. You'll begin to believe his word and what he says. Ladies and gentlemen, because he's God, he is able to save. He said that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Brother Asquith, he's mentioned it to us. I've heard my dad, he said it. The reward isn't just heaven. That is a reward that you get when you get saved. But there's so much more in this Bible
that
you get. The Bible testifies to it. There's so much more in this Word of God that it says than you get than just heaven. You get a changed life. You get the insides changed. You get a new heart. You get made a new creature in Christ. There's so much in this Bible that says happens to you. Ladies and gentlemen, old things are passed away. All things have become new. He'll change the way you think. He'll change the way you act. He'll change the way you dress. He'll change the way you talk. He'll change the way you treat others. He'll change the way your house is. He'll change the order of your house. He'll change your family. He'll change everything about you whenever you get saved. A lot of folks think that the problems with the world and the problems in their family is just everybody else. If you get changed, your family might change. If you change, then everything else around you might change. You look at the world and think everybody's the problem and everybody's the issue. If you get some peace in your heart and get some joy in your heart, it might change everybody else in your eyes around you. That's what happens. I know people that they can't enjoy life, they can't enjoy people, they can't enjoy company, they can't enjoy anybody because everybody's a problem. And when you get saved, God will change that kind of stuff about you.
Amen.
He'll give you a love for people. What he does.
Yeah.
He'll give you a love for people. He that hateth his brother is a murderer, and we know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. The Bible said these things ever written unto you that you may know that you pass from death unto life because you love the brethren.
Right.
You love the brethren. You'll have love in your heart. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And because he loves us, he puts his love in our hearts. He puts it in there where that bitterness used to be. Where that hatred used to be, where that lust used to be, God will put love in that heart. God will put joy in that heart. God will put peace in that heart. That's what he does. That's what he does. Because he is God. God can do that thing. And ladies and gentlemen, not only that, but you have to believe that you will be judged. You must believe that. It's in the Bible. You will be judged. The Bible says, as is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You will stand before a holy God, and he is holy. You're not going to be judged based on me. You'll not be judged based on how clean your pastor lives or the things that he does or says. You're not going to be judged in comparison to everybody else or the hypocrites in the church. You're not going to be judged based on the Pharisees and everybody else. You're going to be judged based on God's holiness and his word. You're going to be judged based on that. Because Jesus was perfect. Had no sin found in him. No guile found in his lips. He's holy. He is pure. He is the altogether lovely one. And there's nothing. Whenever he stood before Pilate, a worldly man, said, "I found no fault with this just man." He knew that he was just. He knew that he was faultless. That's the measure that you're going to be measured by. The word of God, the purity of God's holy word. When you stand before him, you're going to stand before a holy God. A God that hates sin. A God that abhors evil. A God that despises that sinful nature that you have and detests it and rejects it. That's what you're going to stand before, ladies and gentlemen. Go to the book of Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear." Ladies and gentlemen, he's the one that's going to be doing the baptizing. This one, John the Baptist, Jesus said, as far as men in the world, there's not a man that was greater born of a woman than John the Baptist. He said, "There's one coming that's mightier than I. I'm not even worthy to loosen his shoes. I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes." And he said, "He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Now, you get into the charismatic churches, you get into most independent Baptist churches today, they think that fire, you know, that power of God, the power of God on your life, you're going to get the fire on you. But here in this text, the next verse, he said, "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." He's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. He's going to bring in those that are saved, those that have got the Holy Ghost. He's going to separate those that are lost, those that are the chaff. He's going to put them in the unquenchable fire. The fire that never shall be quenched. The worm that will never die where the fire is not quenched. He said it's better if you were to take your hand and cut it off. He said, "For it's more profitable for thee to enter into life having one hand than having both to go into hell fire where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched." He said, "If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. For it's more profitable for thee to enter into life having one foot than having both to be cast into hellfire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." He said, "If your eye offends thee, pluck it out. For it's more profitable for thee to enter into life having one eye than having both to go into the place where the fire is never quenched." and where the worm dieth not. And ladies and gentlemen, you will face the judgment of God. You will face the wrath of God. And His punishment isn't like these Seventh-day Adventists and the Jehovah Witnesses. They think that you're just going to die. Seventh-day Adventists think you're going to be cast into the lake of fire and you're just going to burn up and you're just going to be no more. Jesus said it's an everlasting punishment. He said it's an eternal punishment. He said it's a place where the fires never quit. He said it's a place where the worm dieth not. There's not a picture that I could paint in your mind. There's not a picture I believe that any preacher, any individual in this world can paint in your mind of the terror that hell will be. And when you're there 5 years, you're just getting started. When you're there 5 million years, you're just getting started. When you're there 5 billion years, you're just getting started. When you're there 5 trillion years, you're just getting started. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, it's eternal. If you'll ever get saved, you're going to have to believe that God is a God of judgment, that God is a God of reckoning, that one day that you're going to stand before Him and indignation, wrath, tribulation, and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Tribulation, anguish. That's what happens. Anguish, agony, tribulation, trouble, indignation. God's going to pour His indignation and wrath out upon you. Why? Because you would rather serve yourself, rather serve your flesh, rather serve the devil. About every sin that there is to commit is a sin that's done for yourself. It's a love for yourself. That's why I said love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all of your heart. Because every sin that you commit is because you love yourself more than you love God, more than you love everybody else.
Amen. That's true.
Yeah. Why does somebody go commit fornication? Because they love themselves and they hate God. Why does somebody go out and rob a bank? Because they love themselves and they want money or whatever else. Why does people do dope? Why does people go do drugs? Because they love themselves and want to please themselves. And it destroys you. We're living in a selfish society. You'll have to come to the point that if you're going to follow Him, you must first deny yourself. Deny self. Come to the point where you don't want to follow after self anymore, that you get sick of yourself. Just like that young man, he fled away from his dad. He said, "Dad, would you give me what's coming to me? Give me my inheritance. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do my own thing." Well, he finally came to himself. Got sick of himself. Got sick of where he was. Got sick of the condition that he was in. Got sick and tired of it. Realized that he didn't want that anymore, that life was miserable. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people in this world that need to know that there's a whole lot better to life than what they're living.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you something. It don't matter where you're at. Don't matter what kind of person you are. You may be religious. If you're just religious and you don't have Jesus Christ, there's a whole lot better life than what you have. There's a whole lot better life worth living than what you have. Just because you have your works of righteousness. Jesus Christ said, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And He said that He wants you to have life. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, "I come not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." Right. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Why? Because He wants to heal the sick. He wants to heal those people that are wounded, sick deep down in their soul, blinded in their mind. God wants to heal those people. But why can't you see the mess that you're in? Because Satan has blinded the mind of the unbelieving. Lest the light of the glorious gospel should be shed abroad in your heart. How's that going to get fixed? Get your head in the Word of God. Begin to pray. Get your head in the Word of God. Begin to read the Word of God. Begin to study the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, God will begin to change that mind. God will begin to change the way you think. And then give you an understanding to be able to see the wickedness that's deep down in your heart. You begin to see the wicked condition that's there. And you'll begin to desire God, want God more than anything. If you can get to that point where you want Jesus Christ, He said He'd come to seek and to save that which was lost. He'll save you.
That's
what He wants to do. That's what He came to do. You have to believe that you will be judged. You will be judged. He said that he that judges himself will not be judged. You judge yourself, God's not going to judge you. How are you going to judge yourself? Based on the commandments of God.
Right.
You're going to have to judge yourself. See what the Word of God says about you. We've mentioned it earlier today. I've met many people in my life, many young preacher's kids, they've sit and told me, mentioned big name preachers, if this preacher, Sammy Allen, or if this preacher, this big shot evangelist could just tell me that I'm saved. Let me tell you something, if God don't tell you you're saved, I wouldn't be concerned about anybody else telling me. If God don't tell you you're saved, you don't have anything.
No, that is right.
The Bible says the witness of God is greater. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And if you're saved, a man looks at you and tells you that you're lost and your life corresponds with the Word of God. You have the Holy Ghost living on the inside. You have the Spirit of God living on the inside. You have the Spirit of Christ living on the inside. Ladies and gentlemen, a man comes to you to tell you you're lost, the witness of God is greater. Witness of God's greater. I believe that. Witness of God's greater. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have nothing. I believe in a salvation of assurance. I believe in a salvation that produces a change. He said that you're in the book of Romans that your fruit is unto holiness and right, your righteousness unto true holiness. Your end, everlasting life. He said about the lost people, it's another route. There, it's iniquity unto iniquity. That's their fruit, iniquity unto iniquity. He said the saved person, that their fruit is righteousness to true holiness. What's your fruit today, friend? What's your fruit today? What are you producing? Do you have a desire to seek after God? Do you have a desire to read His Word? And he said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. I've heard Sammy Allen, he mentioned it one time, and I learned it in real life, that you don't have to go get a baby and tell them, oh, you need to eat, and try to stick that bottle down their mouth and try to make them eat. They want to eat. They'll tell you when they're hungry. That's what happens when you get saved. When you get born again, you'll have a desire for the Word of God. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby. These things have been written unto you, that you may know that you have passed from death into life. Why? Ladies and gentlemen, hereby we do know that we know Him, because we keep His commandments. And he that saith, I know Him, 1 John chapter 2, and keep it not His commandments, he is a liar, and God's Word is not in him. God's Word is not in him. What happens? You begin to love the Word of God. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll begin to love this Word. You'll begin to want to live this Word and study this Word. You'll stay up hours listening and reading this Word, listening to preachers, wanting to hear more, wanting to hear more. When you're a young babe in Christ, when you get saved, studying this Word, you'll have a desire for it. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll have the Holy Ghost living on the inside when you get saved. When you get born again, old things are passed away and all things are become new. Quickened by the Spirit. When you get born again, your fruit's unto righteousness, unto true holiness. Those are the things that happen when you get saved. Those things didn't happen to you, you might ought to study your Bible and find out where you stand with God.
Yeah, amen.
What happens? He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. The Bible says, examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith, lest you be except you be reprobate.
Right.
Examine yourselves.
Yeah.
Find out what this Bible says about you. Find out what the Word of God says. Do you have an unction from the Holy One? The Bible says when you have the Holy Ghost, that He leads you and guides you into truth. I know people that don't care about the truth. They don't care about studying the truth. That bothers me. They don't care about what this Bible says. He said when you get the Holy Ghost, He leads you and guides you in the truth. He leads you in it. You want to learn this Word of God, you'll begin to love the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, before you'll ever get saved, you're going to have to believe what the Word of God says.
Right.
Believe what the Scriptures say.
Right.
You're going to have to believe what it says. You're going to have to believe what it says about you. That's the problem. A lot of people believe what it says about everybody else. They believe what it says about everybody else, but when it comes to you, just don't believe it. Just don't. Well, they're trash. Look at the sin that they live in. You might be living in the same trash. He said in Matthew chapter 1, judge not that you be not judged.
Right.
For the measure of judgment that you've judged, it shall be measured unto you. That's what he said. You're going to have to stand before God. You better take this thing of salvation. You better take this thing of God seriously. I've said it in our church. There's some people that have never gotten serious about God. They've never gotten serious enough about God to ever come to the point to realize that they are lost. Some people get sincere about God. God might show them through His Word that they're lost. You'd never get sincere, serious about what this Bible says. Serious about God. God would begin to reveal it to you and show you. But you've never been serious enough. Never cared. And you're in a sad state. You need to come to the point where you'll get serious about God. Get serious about His Word. Get serious about what the Bible says. Get serious about heaven and hell. Get serious about Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Here's the one that was beat, yet you don't care. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. God, I pray that you help us. Touch people's hearts. Touch people's lives. Give them an understanding to see the truth. Give them a sincerity in their heart that they'll begin to seek after God, that they might know where they stand with you.